Welcome to Leadership Reimagined, Episode 4, Two Laws of Leadership with Louisa Jaffe, CEO at TAFE. During each episode, we look at leadership from the vantage point of what it's going to take for leaders to lead their organizations forward into a new future. I'm Dr. Jane Lovis, your host.
Thank you very much, first of all, for inviting me to do this podcast with you. Leadership is a really important subject to me, and so I really am delighted for an opportunity to chat with you about it. I know it's important to you, too, since we've known each other for years, and so I couldn't think of a better topic for two gals like us to chat about. I would say that, so let me start by saying that whether there's been a pandemic or whether there hasn't, there are some that bring me through all situations. And it starts with an understanding of what I call natural law. I mean, natural law is a real thing. The Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights are all founded on natural law. And so what is natural law? Natural law is something that is in effect and it's unchangeable by mankind. You know, it's not a man-made law. It's a law that always works exactly the same way every time. Whether you believe it, whether you know that it's there or not, natural law is working. So one of the basic premise of natural law is something that is very misunderstood. And the reason I'm mentioning it is leaders understand this, because if they understand something that's impacting them, impacting their company, impacting anything that affects them, impacts their ability to be prosperous, then they're wise to know what about it. So natural law that I'm referring to is that people work most productively when it is in their best interest. People work most productively when it's in their best interest. So what that means is that if you are given a plot of land and you're told that you can have more land too if you want to work it, and that you can sell your products, you know, whatever you raise, and keep the money. All right. In that case, it's going to probably be to the person's best interest to work two plots of land or three plots of land if they can. Yeah, they may have to work a lot, but that's a choice. Nobody imposes that on the person. They're going to do whatever they have to do for their best interest.
Right.
Now, and so this is misunderstood, and it's important to understand for me, for leaders to understand this, because there was an experiment done when the Pilgrims landed. Miles Standish they sorted out the land for people to, and the idea was, from each according to your ability to work, and to each according to your need. And he was very disappointed to find out that, I mean, they had their problems. A lot of people were sick and so forth, but the general attitude was they would do as little as possible, because what was going to drive how much they got was their need. And so as a result, it was hard to feed everybody because the productivity wasn't there. Yeah. Now, how did natural law affect that? Well, a person who's not feeling that great and, you know, is going to say, it's in my best interest to do as little as possible. That's what they'll do. They actually are being the most productive for their best interest by not being productive in that case, if you catch my drift.
Right.
So eventually Miles Standish realized this wasn't working. So he had to turn it all around so they wouldn't all die. And it was that everybody will work. If you don't work, unless you really are sick and incapacitated, then you don't get the food. You know, if you want food, you work. And he took away the restrictions that they each had a plot to tend by assignment, and found that the, and he allowed them to keep most of what they produced. They'd have to give a small portion to the community, but mostly they got to keep what they produced. Suddenly people were working harder, tilling more land and producing. That's natural law. It isn't something you can legislate in terms of aligning with it, but you can't legislate it away.
Right.
So, were you trying to ask me something? I saw.
No, nope. I was just agreeing with you that you can't stop it. Okay.
You can't stop it. That's why it's natural law. Now, man-made laws can either be aligned with natural law or in opposition with natural law. And either way, you know, as the stuff with Miles Standish shows, Standish went with the more, some people would consider more humanitarian. Just give to everyone according to their need, and everybody else should work. You know, they should work just as hard, regardless of how much they get. Now, that is a philosophy or an ideal or an ideology, and you're free to believe it. But the fact is, laws that ensure that kind of system will not be the most productive that they can be. I mean, that's just the way it is. So the reason I say people should understand that is that that law is at work whether there's a pandemic or not, you know. And the other thing that's really important about natural law is that it's also impacting the way it's impacting. I'm sorry, I had a little moment there, but it, you have to realize I was up all night.
right, yeah.
It impacts directly how money works. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that great leaders need to understand. Money works hand in glove with natural law. And so if you want to dedicate yourself to trying to prove that wrong or no, or what, or think you can legislate away natural law, you know, you can pour your energy into that, but what you will find is you won't be prosperous. You won't likely be prosperous or, so let's also talk about how money works. So again, money, so how do I think about money? I think about money as a medium of exchange. Mm-hmm. And that in itself can be a really freeing, revolutionary concept. I find that people who talk to me who are maybe a little envious or jealous of people they think have money, they might categorize them like those businesses or those big businesses. They've got lots of money, blah, 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 blah. Well, all right, fine. You can have an opinion about anything. But what do they imagine? Did they imagine that those quote unquote greedy entrepreneurs, what do they think, that they have giant barrels in their basement and every day they come and just pour buckets of money into it and their basement is just covered with buckets of money?
Right, yeah.
No, probably not. Because why? Because putting your money in a barrel does not give you income.
Right.
It does give you an asset, and it gives you, but money as the medium of exchange simply means you can exchange money for things you need or desire. You know, in and of itself, it has no value. It only has value as a medium of exchange. Right. So the, you know, instead of putting money in buckets where they are not going to reproduce, they're not going to be productive. So People are prosperous when their money is most productive. And their money is most productive, whether you like it or not, where it's doing, you know, the best it can. It's getting the best return on investment. And so once again, leaders understand that is happening. That is the way it is. So the point is not whether I have a lot of money, for example, but whether I understand how money works. Do I understand how to take my money and get a return on an investment for it? And so in a time like a pandemic, it's been very interesting to me to see how some people have figured out new and different ways to make money. And some people are making a lot more money in their businesses than they did before. And others have had the rug pulled out from under them. And I think that those who are able to figure out how to, in spite of the pandemic, figure out new ways, maybe not the way they were, but new right. ways to make their money return an investment, you know, to how to earn money, how to prosper in times like this. So having said that, I try to align everything in my business, in my company, and in my life with natural law. Mm-hmm. So the way that works is for employees, if I can provide an environment where people feel like it's in their best interest to be productive, maybe it's through a salary I pay them, maybe it's also through the type of work they're doing, say it's a technical writer who just gets great joy out of creating language that expresses complicated technical ideas, or whatever it is. If I can create employment that others regard as giving them, as being in their highest interest, my company will be the most productive it can. Right. It'll never be as productive if people are bored, if they're not trained, if they, you know, if they're just, I've got to till this piece of land no matter what, but they don't see it as in their best interest. And maybe it's in their best interest simply because they need a paycheck, and that will keep people going to a certain extent.
Right.
But a leader knows that people have to have that create. If you can also tap a place where their creative needs are being fulfilled, or where they see it is in their best interest to learn and grow in the job they have, then they will not only be happier and more productive, but people will come up with amazing solutions to company problems and so forth. So one of the things we did when the pandemic came, I have, I guess I should tell you, my husband and I co-own a business called Technical and Project Engineering. We call it TAPE for short. And so TAPE, we're a government contracting company, and we have employees all over the country. We have, I forget the exact number right now, but somewhere around 150 employees right now. And that kind of goes up and down slightly, varying on when contracts are completed, new ones start, and so forth. But I have a lot of people that are depending on me for employment. And I apologize for background sounds. I am working from home. Okay. So anyway, so I think that in terms of how, you know, again, natural law, part of understanding how money works and how money interacts with people is to understand a concept of marketing. So marketing is something, and this is really important, because leaders, effective leaders, understand marketing. Mm-hmm. What is marketing? Is it selling stuff? Not really. Marketing, I mean, and sales are part of marketing, but marketing is helping your potential customers understand why it's in their best interest to pay you money to perform a service or a product, give a product. And marketing has many aspects to it. It includes branding yourself. Maybe you want to brand yourself as a very community service oriented person. You can do that, you know. Maybe you want to brand yourself as a subject matter expert on something, and you can do that. But the thing is about marketing is it's the tool that you can use to get you through times like pandemics, how to change your message. Well, yes, this is who we were yesterday, but today we're evolving into something else, and here's what it is. So marketing is really, really important. And in terms of marketing, you know, it's so one of the things that I did when we did in our company, when the pandemic started and we have these 150 people all over the country, different projects, not the same rules. We had some people, we had about somewhere around 20 people on a project, and it was for a government customer. And when the pandemic hit, they could not put these people on telework because of the type of work it was. It had to be done on a government site. But they didn't want to make people come in. So they simply did what they call a stop work. So we had 20 people all over the country. This job is in several states. And we suddenly had to tell them not to go to work, but that we would keep paying them. And so we were able to do that in part because of the government's payroll protection plan loan, which we applied for immediately. And that gave us the ability to provide for those people. Well, in the case of those people, the way it turned out is the government said, well, that government customer said, we've decided to let you go ahead and invoice us normally. So before invoicing, we were going to make any profit, and we have other bills to pay besides payroll. However, we're also very spiritual people. We pray about everything, and we just said, all right, we'll go with it. And so it worked out in that case. But in terms of the people, these are real morale factors. You suddenly tell someone, we had people who had just started with the company like a week before. Now we're telling them, oh, by the way, you still have your job, but don't come into work. We'll keep paying you. You know, well, people are like, yeah, but how long can you do that? And, you know, should I go get unemployment? What should I do? And we're no, you have a job, and we'll crank you right back into it when this passes. And so, and we have others who have been teleworking from home. And we have two other projects which also have to be done at the government site. So not everybody can telework. And we had one project that was very, very challenging. Sorry, let me take that off. That was very challenging because it was in New York and in Manhattan. And we have almost 40 people there. They cannot telework. They have to go to work. And in the case of this job, they have to go to work for us to get paid. You know, we can't, because we can't telework them. And so that was really challenging. We've worked it out, you know, we've come through it. And but what did I do as a leader? I was very conscious. I made myself very conscious of the feelings of the workers. And I stayed away thinking about how is this going to impact me. I didn't really think about it that way. I just thought about what are they going through? They're uncertain. This is upsetting. We had one employee whose husband passed away after testing positive with COVID and in a hospital, and she had tested positive too, and she couldn't even go be with him. And it was a heartbreaking situation. And we've had others with different types of, you know, impacts to their lives. So I started thinking about marketing again. I decided what I need right now is direct communication as much as I can with my employees. Mm-hmm. So I bought myself a tripod because I'm working from home too. I bought myself a tripod and I started filming some short 2-minute videos talking to them about things and helping, you know, encouraging them to connect with us. And we started some special programs for getting them help that they might need that's unusual. And there are leave, you know, there are, you can pay them for a COVID leave, you can pay them for Family Medical Leave Act and various things. And so I started making a series of videos talking about these things, and it gave me a chance to look into the camera and connect with people that way. And I did a series of them. I didn't try to put out everything in one day. And then I also did the same thing with the recent rioting in the street and the violence and the protests surrounding the death of George Floyd and other people who died in the aftermath of that. When we were going through that, our health insurance company put out a wonderful benefit. They said that even if our employees were not signed up for health insurance, because not everyone is, they might get it a different way, but anybody who was an employee of TAPE they had resources available for them to get counsel over the David Floyd death. And I was able to do a whole video on that. And So leadership, to me, is not one thing, but it starts with a basic understanding of natural law, how money works, how people's feelings work, and to leaders don't think of themselves first in terms of what am I going to get out of this? And that's why people are willing to follow a leader. Yep. They believe that their leader has their best interest in heart. And they can tell. Yeah. They can tell if you're sincere, if you're authentic, or if you're just kind of giving lip service to something. They know. But if they feel that authentically you're there with them and you relate to them and you understand, they will be loyal. Right. And having engendering loyalty in employees is a major factor for many companies. Mm-hmm. And I think that what I tell men and women, I do have the opportunity to work with a lot of startup companies come and talk to me, and I always tell them, man or woman, I don't think that, sometimes I'm asked, what do you have to say to help other women succeed in business? But the truth is, it's really no different than what I have to say to men. You know, there is not a way to succeed as a woman. There's a way to succeed and there's a way not to succeed, and it doesn't matter. You find your own, each of us will find our own unique ways to express leadership through our own personalities, our own situations. And that's not something that can be taught, but it's something that can be caught.
Yeah.
And then, if you're open to that idea and you're willing to understand that if I want to market myself and my business, I can't be in what I call a sort of victim mentality. I can't be dwelling on all the ain't it awful, or this wasn't fair in my life, or if I do, I can't move forward. I'm looking back. And the key with leaders is always find a way to move forward. You know, one of my favorite concepts of leadership, this might sound strange, but one of my favorite concepts of leadership is Indiana Jones. So, you know, Harrison Ford was that actor, is an actor, but he was the actor who played a character called Indiana Jones in three movies. And he, so he had all these wild adventures all over the place. But the point is, nothing ever went according to plan, but that didn't stop him.
Right.
Like, okay, well, here I am hanging over a pit of fire. I'm dropping into it. How can I get out of this? So he's always finding a way forward. And even though life is, you know, that's a simplistic view of life, I suppose, but the idea that there is always a way, there is always a path forward, there is always a way. I like to say, God knows how and shows me now, or God makes a way where there is no way. But even, you know, it's not about religion. It's really about if you believe in what's inside of you, and I believe my higher power is inside of me, but if I can believe in my own creative power,
right,
that's all that matters. If I can believe, okay, I can create a way out of this, even though I'm hanging over the pit of fire right now, I'm just going to believe that if I stay alert and look around, I'm going to find, the path.
Yeah.
So staying on the path forward, not only for myself and my business, but for my employees too, help them. Well, what is your path forward? What do you want to do? What kind of training do you need? And the one other key I would say is, I talked about making those videos. A leader keeps up with technology. I don't mean that you know, as we get older, we know how to use it, but we want to be aware about it because technology has the power to transform communications.
Yeah.
So we want to always be aware of how technology can make people more productive, back to natural law, you know, make them more productive, communicate our message, our marketing message. And that is always changing. So there's not one way to do that. It's just simply embrace, a leader embraces everything that's available and is creative about, maybe I'll use things this way today. Maybe there are times when there's no technology available and you go and you shout in your office, come here and we're gonna have a meeting right here. So those are some of my ideas.
Those are so great. And they totally, I mean, I knew that we would, just from the years we've known each other, but we've never had this conversation before.
Yes, we have. Yeah.
And for what I really believe, and one of the things that I see for leadership is a leader is out in front clearing the way so that your employees can do their work without any hindrance. You know, their thing, and that's what you've been doing through this, is you have been clearing the way, providing them the support, and, you know, all from a space of when they are in alignment and that this is in their, also in their best interests, and you're supporting them for their best interests, they are producing for you. Because it's in their best interest to do their best work. And you've created that.
Thank you. I have created that, and I'm very proud of that. But I would also say, from a leadership standpoint, one other aspect of what you just said is, one mistake people make is, and I do believe in, you know, giving people the ball and letting them run with it. But a leader takes responsibility to make sure there are boundaries of what a person can do and not do, you know. So a leader is always enforcing guidelines. Now, these have to be high enough level guidelines that you're not too much down in the weeds of telling them how to do their job. But on the other hand, there can be a system of accountability where they can come tell me how they're doing their job. And one thing I've found about who is a potential leader and who is not, A person who is not a potential leader will complain about accountability. Why don't you trust me just to do my job? Or just, I've got this, I'll handle it. Mm-hmm. That person probably doesn't want to be accountable. A leader will use it as an opportunity to understand what's important to someone, you know, and in that case, it would be someone that they're working for, and they will be very eager to be forthcoming to say, here's how I'm living it within the guidance, here's what I'm doing, and instead of giving the appearance of, no, trying to keep you out, don't come in here and question me, you know. So people who don't like to be questioned in terms of accountability, whenever I run into that statement like, oh, you're too much in the weeds, you know, then I know, oh, no, apparently I'm not enough in the weeds. You know? And so a leader has to make those tough calls. And it might not be popular sometimes, but your business requires it. Your business requires you to know what's going on, especially anything concerning money, what things cost, how much revenue you're bringing in, how much you're paying for people, can you provide better benefits? You know, you have to know these things as a leader or you can't really be effective.
Right.
Can't be effective.
Yeah. Well, Louisa, this has been great.
Thank you.
That was so much fun. I'm so glad you said yes to doing this.
I am too.
Thanks for joining us this week on Leadership Reimagined. Make sure to visit our website, lovisconsulting.com, to access previous shows and learn more about us.